Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he stops throbbing his own sweet song. Wake up, you sleepy head. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, love and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Chaos as Addicts fans battle through the storms to make it to Shrewsbury any way they could. It was all lining up to be one of those I was there moments, but Daniel Udoh's late strike made it an I wish I hadn't bothered moment. Welcome to Charlton Live. So good evening and welcome to Charlton Live on your Sunday evening. My name is Louis Mendes. I hope you guys are well. I hope you guys are inside and staying warm amongst the stormy, wintry conditions out there. At the moment, we've got to look back, haven't we? The first defeat under the Johnny Jackson reign. 1-0 defeat up at Shrewsbury yesterday, right in the last minute as well. Just a nothing game. And then late strike condemned us to the loss after a really difficult day for the fans who made their way up there. So joining me to have that discussion too, who couldn't be bothered. First up, we got Mr. Tom Wallin. How are you doing, Tom?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. As you say, didn't bother. So, yeah, happy as Larry, apart from the result.
Yeah, not ideal. And also join us, Mr. Benji Clark. How are you doing, Ben?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. It's one of those things. You feel like you're having a good weekend. Then you feel like, why am I not having a really good weekend? Then you go, oh, yeah, we lost in the last minute.
Yeah, but exactly.
We haven't had that feeling that much lately, so I can't complain too much.
No, it was a particularly painful one, though, up there at Shrewsbury yesterday. We're going to hear the goal again shortly. We're going to hear, of course, from the Addicts caretaker boss, Johnny Jackson. We've got some of your views as well, the fans bar from some of those fans who did make it. Up to Shrewsbury and also some important stuff later on. We're going to hear from Heather McKinley from the Supporters Trust. You tell us a little bit about the fan-led review that was published sort of earlier on this week. Some really interesting stuff in there as well, so we're going to hear from Heather later on in the show. We're going to hit the goal back very shortly, Tom. The question is, I guess, I mean, you know, last 20 minutes, maybe second half at Morecambe, fair to say, you know, we sort of got into this pattern where, first half at Morecambe, we were brilliant, but we got into this pattern where we couldn't really break a team down and we were struggling. And obviously, we know we have players missing. And that felt like the majority of the game yesterday. You know, we had a couple of half chances. I think Connor may have had a goal on another day, had a header off the line, a header saved by the keeper. Yeah, Gilby had a shot that was well saved, but not great deal in terms of chances. I mean, Shrewsbury, similar really. That again, they had a couple of openings inside the first 20 minutes and then a couple of cut-ins and shots over the bar. But other than that, it just felt like it was going to peter out into an absolute waste of time for everyone. And then that happens right at the very end, Daniel Udoh. So yeah, tough one to take really. I mean, it's not the season defining moment, but it's pretty annoying.
Yeah, it's one of those horrible, gritty League One away days, isn't it? I know I wasn't there yesterday, but I've done Shrewsbury a couple of times, and obviously the playoff was a tough afternoon for everybody as well. And you're right. I mean, you look at the stats. We dominated possession. We had slightly more chances. We had more kind of corners. From listening to the game yesterday, I thought, you know, the second half of the first half, so the second quarter of the game, was probably our best spell. It sounded like we were on the ball a lot. We were dominating a lot more possession in their half. But we, as you just said there, we weren't really creating enough. And it's a pattern, again, as you said, that we've seen in the past couple of games. And obviously the big miss is Jaden Stockley, who I thought was excellent on Charlton TV, but I hope I don't have to see him there again going forwards. And I think, yeah, you know, at the moment, unfortunately, we are reliant on him and Connor as a pair. And I've seen Josh has come in for criticism. I think that's a little bit harsh given his age and given where he is in his career. But, you know, he hasn't blown us away the last couple of games. You know, Connor's had to do a lot of work up there, and we need Jaden back ultimately. And, you know, Jacko said it himself after the game. We were getting in good positions. We were getting balls into the box. It was just the crosses themselves weren't brilliant, and there was nobody on the end of them either way. So, yeah, look, no panic stations. Again, you know, we're averaging 2 points a game under Jacko, and that's promotion form. So I'm certainly not worried. There was a bit of an overreaction yesterday, I think partly down to the, you know, the difficulties and the amounts people had to spend just to get to the game. So I get that. But, yeah, I'm certainly not worried. You know, I still think Jacko's the man for the job. It, you know, it's disappointing to lose that, particularly off the back of Tuesday night, and both of those off the back of such a good win at home at the weekend. But yeah, it's not going to be season defining, and the progress we've made under Johnny over the past seven games has been very, very good. So hopefully we can chalk that up to, you know, a long week and a week where we've had to play a lot of players out of position and filling in, and things will start to improve in the next few weeks, I think.
Yeah, because Ben, I think we said when we were discussing the Morecambe game that the idea of all this sort of fatigue and suspensions and players being missing was going to catch up with us at some point. And we actually said, you know, we've done so well to be unbeaten considering that and to win quite a few games whilst that's happening. But now it has caught up with us. Yeah, we were, I guess, expecting it a little bit, no more so than it did yesterday.
Yeah, it's caught up with us, hasn't it? I mean, the second half at Morecambe kind of foretold what was going to happen yesterday in a way. Similar story. We had a lot of passing around at the ball. I mean, we had 68% of the possession, which is bonkers, because when we played Plymouth, we had 30-odd% of the possession, but we were clinical with our chances. And yeah, we had a few shots outside the box, but again, as Jacko and Tom just said there, we had a few crosses coming in, but no one was throwing himself at the ball and making sure the ball got in the back of the net. And obviously, we know that's Jaden Stockley's game. But yeah, look, with Jacko tried it about yesterday. He played Pap Suare at a left wing back role instead of Gunter playing yesterday. And he gave Jaisimi a rest, who's been really good lately, and played Blackett Taylor. And I think, as Tom said, towards the end of the first half, we looked really dominant. We had a few good chances. But then at the end there, you're just thinking, oh, okay, it's been a rough old day. Just if we can hold out for a point, that would be all right. And then obviously the goal happens. But yeah, look, no drama too much. It's how we react now to this defeat. We've obviously got 10 days now to our next league match. But of course, we've got quite a big match on Friday night, with it being on TV and with it being Gateshead trying to cause a massive upset. So we really don't want to turn up in a bad mind frame to that, because if we get turned over, that could be horrendous to the team's morale. But yeah, look, we need to dust ourselves down. We know we're missing a few key players, Jason Pearce, Jaden Stockley will be hopefully back for the next game. But this next week now provides an opportunity for some players who haven't had the minutes to show, look, all right, we've been struggling for players, struggling with a little bit of form in our last two games. Can they step up and make the claim to start in this starting 11? Because I think a few of the performances weren't up to scratch yesterday. It probably let Jacko down. So, look, there's a chance now for them to go and prove themselves in these two games coming up. So, yeah, we've got to look forward to them now and see what we can do.
Yeah, I like the mindset of just pretending the Shrewsbury game hasn't happened and we're already on to the next show. But we do have to look back at the game. Let's have a listen to the goal from Charlton TV, Steve Brown alongside Terry Smith.
Be another long throw-in you'd expect from Nurse.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we've got to dig in. Be diligent, stay with our men, because we certainly don't deserve to be on the wrong end of a result here. They've done nowhere near enough Shrewsbury to win this game, so...
Nurse preparing for the long throw. In it comes now. Looking for Cosgrove. Clare goes there, as does O'Doan, and Dobson gets the last header clear, headed back in by Pennington. It's going to drop to O'Doan. Oh, it's gone in! Charlton are saying there should have been a foul in there. The referee says no. And the home side have got the goal.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely a foul. The long throw comes in. It's not on the first challenge. It's on the one on the edge of the box, I think, now coming up. That's a foul on Dobson. I have no idea how he hasn't given that. And that's not me being biased. I mean, you see the footage, if you see the replay, there is a clear shove from the wrong side on Dobson. Sends him absolutely flying. Not the first challenge, not the second, not the third, but the fourth one as Dobson goes up. That has to be a foul. Cannot believe he hasn't seen that.
Well, I mean, maybe you can look to say that we didn't deal with that enough, but the foul on Dobson was clear. It was Pennington who did it.
Yeah, that's the only way they was going to win the game, Tal. Something as disgusting to look at as that was the only way they were going to win the game. It's a decent finish as it drops down. He half volleys it with accuracy into the corner. But I don't see how a referee can watch that and physically see that happen and not give a free kick the other way. But there you go. These things happen and they go against you.
Yeah, not happy, were they? You'll be pleased to know we haven't got the full highlights because the recording failed. But we did hear the goal there, and it was almost a premonition from Brownie saying, just don't let anything go in when this comes in. Because, I mean, Shrewsbury were a terrible team to watch. And as it was sort of eking out into the 0-0, I remember thinking, like, imagine having to watch this every week. But sometimes it can be effective, and that sort of physical element that I don't know, you could argue at times we didn't deal with it at times because obviously we struggled to break them down. They dealt with a lot of our crosses into the penalty area. But then when it came to defending, we tended to do okay. And then when it comes to the goal, I mean, you watch it back. I mean, surely that's a foul on George Dobson. Surely it should have gone down as one of those rubbish nil-nils instead of an even worse 1-0 defeat, Tom.
Yeah, we were talking about that off air, weren't we? I've seen it back a few times since. And there were times where I thought it wasn't. There were times where I thought it was. I don't think it was as blatant as some people are making out, but I think you expect something like that to be given. And I think, yeah, I don't think that's enough of an excuse. Jacko again said it himself in the post-match. We should be defending that better. You're right. On the whole, we had defended well. You know, they had created a couple of chances, of course. McGivory had made a really good save in the first half, wasn't it? Yeah, to tip over the bar. But on the whole, we'd restricted them, I thought, and you've just got to concentrate for that last bit. How many times do you see goals like that go in right at the end of games? Because players are tired and maybe players' heads are already in the dressing room and thinking about the warm coach on the way home or whatever. And whatever it was, that lapse in concentration, you know, it's a horrible goal to concede because it's bobbling around. As you say, your player gets an arm to the back of the head or back or whatever, goes down. And even then, it's not a firm shot at all. It sort of trickles past McGivory. And, I'm not going to criticise him too much because I think he's been excellent for us. But you wonder if he could have got a stronger hand to that, given some of the saves we have seen him make. And it's just heartbreak, isn't it? And as I say, I go back to that playoff game. We've had that before there, unfortunately. But as I say, this is kind of the bread and butter of this league. If, you know, this is, we're down there for a reason. And unfortunately, you have to go to places like this where teams aren't going to come out and try and play champagne football around you. You know, they're going to sit back. They're going to dig deep. Shrewsbury, you know, the quality of their players, you would say, is not the same as Charlton's. You know, they're down in the bottom six and they've got to scrap for every point they can get. So, look, they did it. It wasn't pretty. They've done a number on us and we have to hold our hands up and say that. But, yeah, as I say, that's why I go back to my first point, that I'm not too worried. I'm sure Jacko will have told the players how he felt about that. And now he's got another, not quite a full week, has he, but almost on the training ground ahead of that Friday game. And as Ben says, that's really an opportunity to get some confidence back in, because I know that there is the chance of a cup upset, but really we should be looking at that and thinking, you know, let's try and get through, and who knows, if we could get a little run on the FA Cup or a big tie in the next round, that might help confidence too. So, yeah, just a really disappointing goal to concede, I think.
Yeah, I mean, do you mentioned it, Ben. Do you think that Craig could have done a little bit better with that one? I mean, it's, I don't know if he was almost caught slightly unawares. Maybe he was expecting the free kick, but he perhaps could have got a stronger hand onto it. And yeah, I mean, it is disappointing though. Once again, when a referee doesn't notice something that's blatant.
It's bonkers. I was looking at the highlight trying to see whereabouts the ref was positioned, because it's crazy. I mean, Dobson has jumped for the ball and he's got a big shove in his back. And I know some of the players were calling for offside as well, because it looked like the player who did push him in the back came from an offside position to head the ball as well. So it seems like we've been done twice there for the same player. But yeah, with Mac, obviously, as Tom was saying, we don't want to be too critical because he made a great save earlier on in the game. And I can't really pinpoint many goals this season where I'd blame him for it. But he'll be gutted himself. I think if you were to ask him, he's got a big hand on the shot and it just squirms its way into the bottom corner in the end, because the shot was for the centre of the goal, really. But it's one of them. It comes at you so quick. It's being headed around the box and then the shot comes in, but I'm sure he'll be as gutted as anyone that he's not kept that out after he's got a big hand to it. But yeah, we move on. It's a scrappy goal. It's one at the end of the game. Of course, heads will be down. We'll be gutted because on the basis of the game, I don't think they deserved it on the chances. But as Tom said, they've done a number on us and we just got to dust ourselves down. And I'm sure Jacko will be like, right, how can I learn from this defeat? How can I make sure this doesn't happen again? What personnel could I have changed or blah, blah, blah. But maybe, look, a few of their long throws did us, didn't it, really, where we didn't just clear it properly and it came back in. But look, he's a young manager learning his trade. Hopefully he gets given time now. Hopefully Sangar looks at the situation and goes, OK, maybe I was waiting for Jackson to get his loss and see how he deals with it from there. And yeah, look, let's look forward to the next one, dust ourselves down and see how we go.
I mean, we mentioned already we enjoyed the majority of the possession. I'd say after the first sort of 15 minutes, you know, where I thought Shrewsbury started quite well but then went back into their shell and were quite happy to make it into that ugly game that we didn't deal with particularly well. Like I say, we enjoyed the ball but didn't create much of it. And I, some of that always comes back to, you know, Jacko wants us to play with this level of intensity. And when you're in possession, I guess being intense means moving the ball really quickly and creating space, not just keeping it and knocking it side to side, which I think there's probably an argument that we did a little bit too much, and we didn't feed Blackett Taylor in space enough. You know, a couple of times he did get it. You know, we saw him produce things, which included that Washington header that was cleared off the line. But again, I guess that will come down to those levels of fatigue and how much that game against, you know, a really strong Plymouth side last week, where we were chasing the ball for long times, how much that's taken out of them this week. And, you know, with the squad sort of at the bare bones as it is, Tom, that does catch up with you. But at the same time, I mean, Jackson will not want to see that as an excuse, because it's going to catch up with everyone. We need to make it work for us.
Yeah, definitely. But I also think that they're learning that. You know, Adkins didn't have them pressing in the same way. It was very, very mismatched. And so there's definitely a different intensity about us. But that, you know, that does take a lot of effort. And as I said, we haven't rotated in the same way, which I'm pleased about. I think Jacko's found a settled 11, barring obviously the injuries and suspensions. But that unfortunately does take its toll on certain players. And I like the fact he rotated a couple of those wingers and brought people like Corey in. But again, it just didn't quite click. And I watched the Arsenal game, the early kickoff, and it was the same. You know, Newcastle sat 8-9 players behind the ball. And obviously, we all know what Arsenal are about in terms of passing it. And it takes a long time to break a team that down. And sometimes you need a little bit of luck or just a little bit of star quality to do that. And we just couldn't quite find it. And as I say, we did have a couple of opportunities. That Gilby one in the first half, probably the best. As you say, that cross in the second half, right underneath the goalkeeper, and they managed to head it off the line when Washington looked like he might get on the end of that. So, you know, we did get through them. We did get chances, but just not quite enough. And you do have to be patient, unfortunately, when shifting that ball around and just wait for those opportunities. But, you know, they've got an experienced manager in charge. We're a well-disciplined side, and it's just one of those frustrating things. There's all number of reasons that we didn't win that game yesterday. I think the fatigue is a part. I think the way they set up, you know, I'm sure the weather, I know it's the same for both sides, but, you know, you're going to a little ground like that. It's windy, it's cold. It's hard. And you go back to last weekend, the sun, the big team with a team up at the end and a full stadium, completely different atmosphere. And one of the things, as I said earlier, that you just get in League One, you know, you do have these smaller teams and these much, much teams. And that discrepancy sometimes is probably hard for players to juggle. Excuse me, being a game, but I don't know, maybe intensity does drop a little bit in that sort of environment. So, yeah, disappointing. But, yeah, I'm not, as I said earlier, not too worried about it overall.
Yeah, we almost lost you there for a second, Tom, but I think we got the gist of that. The choices that Jackson made in terms of team news beforehand, obviously when we saw Purrington sort of drop back into that back three with Soare coming in because Gunter had gone out the side. That was an interesting move. Obviously, as we've already mentioned, Blackett Taylor in for DJ. I think we lost a bit from Purrington going into that sort of the back three rather than playing the left wing back role, because I mean he's been getting up the pitch quite nicely and offering a bit of defensive cover at the same time, and unfortunately Pap didn't do either of those yesterday. And by having him in the side, we moved Ben from a position where he's done really well into one where he's probably not able to influence the game as much, and where Pap didn't, unfortunately.
Yeah, when I saw the team sheet come through, I did think it was a bit odd, because I think the last game we saw him play was Lincoln away, and he was terrible that game. He kept getting done by the high ball over the top, and he just kept getting done by the winger there, and he wasn't very good that day. And I was surprised that, as you said, Ben Purrington's been so good for us and chipped in with a few goals coming in from that left wing back role, that we didn't keep him in that role. But, of course, Gunter came in for some criticism on Tuesday. We've given away the penalty, and it looked like him and Davison both missed the guy for the header for the equaliser. So he thought, OK, I'll change it up. It's my team now. I'll give Pap a go in my side to see what he can do. And look, we're giving him a chance, and he didn't look very good again, did he? So it's hard, because we are without Lavelle, Innes and Pierce. I know we said that a few times, but when you lose your main three centre-backs, it is a bit of a blow, especially when Lavelle and Pierce had come into the team and were playing so well. So it's frustrating, and it's nice to see Jacko juggle stuff about to see what can work. And I know we saw Charlie Kirk come on Tuesday in that position. I thought he did quite well. But obviously, when you're away from home against the side on the bounce after they just got a good draw against Sunderland with 10 men, he probably thought, well, let's defend first and then maybe bring Charlie on later, which unfortunately didn't come on. But yeah, it's one of those things. I think you've got to try different players in different roles, especially as he's trying out this new formation. It didn't work. Look, we've got a couple games now, as we said, to try and work different things. Not big games, because they're not league games. But yeah, it's nice to see him try different stuff, try different ways of trying to get at teams. But unfortunately, it just didn't work for us yesterday with Soare in that position.
All right, let's hear from the caretaker boss then, Johnny Jackson. He came out to me to speak to me at a bitterly cold New Meadow yesterday, and this is what he made of the performance.
Disappointing, obviously, to lose. Disappointing to lose a goal that late, and from our point of view, poor goal from a long throw. It's gutting to concede that late. I thought the very least, the way that the game was going, you know, that we'd draw it. I was hoping that we'd push on for the win, and thought we were the team that was pressuring. But again, like, probably didn't do enough ourselves either. So it looked like it might just peter out for a draw, and you take that on the road sometimes. So to get done right at the end there, yeah, I'm really disappointed.
There seem to be some strong complaints from some of your players at the full-time whistle to the referee. Were they unhappy with something in the build-up to the goal?
Yeah, Dobbo felt that he was pushed in the back for the I think like the second header, I think there's one header, the ball goes loose, Dobbo goes up to clear it with his head, and this guy sort of comes through the back of him to win the header, and it bounces, and then the guy puts it away. So Dobbo thinks he was definitely fouled, and that's what the complaints were about.
So you mentioned it yourself, it felt quite similar to maybe the closing stages at Morecambe. There was a lot of possession, but perhaps weren't able to find that breakthrough today.
Yeah, again, I thought we worked the ball into some really good situations, and then final pass, final cross, and even when we are putting it in, anticipation, like the Lico puts a great ball in at the end there, and you know, you're crying out for someone to attack it. The guy sort of heads it off the line and in the middle of the goal, and I want people to be attacking those situations at the very least. Like, the guy should be, you know, it's great defending, but he should be being put in the goal. Someone should be like putting pressure on him there, and we sort of caught on our heels a little bit, not anticipating it, and then when we did get it into some sort of wide situations, I didn't think our final ball, our final cross was particularly good today either.
So you had to made a couple of changes. So we were sort of thinking of bringing Chris out the side and Suara in. Was it just a tiredness thing because they've played a lot of games recently?
Yeah, a bit of that. I just, you know, I wanted to have a little bit of balance there with some left footers down that side of the pitch as well. So and I think having Akin in the middle gives you a little bit of that physicality as well. So that was my thinking behind that. And obviously just DJ, just freshening it up. He's played a lot of games in. It's been brilliant, DJ, but I've just felt on Tuesday maybe there was a bit of fatigue in there, and you've got a player like Corey ready to come in. So, you know, it's just important that you give people opportunities and you also that you look after some players when they may be feeling a bit tired.
And it is a great boost to have Jonathan back in the side. We know how dangerous he has been in the early stages of this season.
Yeah, good to have him fit. You know, it was probably too soon to start him in a game like that, but, you know, we got him on. Got him on off the bench, and maybe he's a little bit rusty. He's been out a while, and he's not done much training, to be honest. So, with the group anyway, so he'll get better. He'll improve day in day, and hopefully, yeah, get back to the sort of form that he was in before he got injured.
And obviously, winning games is almost the easy bit. It's how you react from a defeat as a team and yourself as a manager as well. What you learn from today?
Listen, you know, I knew I was going to lose a game of football. Why, like, people keep asking you about, you know, it's almost like, do you get it out of the way now? Like, I've got no doubts about how the team's going to react. We're doing the right things. We're going in the right direction. Like, where we was a month ago to where we are now is chalk and cheese, really. And I said at the very start that there'll be bumps in the road and there'll be more. But, like, the team, you know, we'll bounce back from this, no problem. Like, yeah, you're going to lose games. Everyone's going to lose games, but we'll use it as fuel for the next one.
Obviously, Thomas's last game in the country. Have you got any further update? I guess everyone's chomping at the bit to find out if there's any more news you could share at the moment with your conversations with him.
Yeah, not really. Just same again. Like, we've been speaking regularly. Everything seems positive. He's happy with the direction that we're moving in. I think he recognises that the team's improving beyond recognition, and that will continue to do so. So hopefully we can all move forward positively.
Should just mention for the fans, I don't know if you know, the trains have been a nightmare. Some of them have paid hundreds of pounds on cabs to get here from the Midlands. I mean, what an effort from them.
Incredible, yeah. I mean, I heard it was absolute chaos with the trains and the roads. And my dad was on the train. He had to get off and find a way to get here, and like it's unbelievable. Again, the support that they bring us, like I'm gutted for them that we couldn't give them something to shout about going home, but you know, I just want to thank them again for their support. Absolutely superb.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good challenge by Gunter, and Charlton can break it. It's 3-on-2. Jarasimi switches the play across to Washington. Washington, ball forward to Stockley. Can he get there? Stockley, still with it. Jaden Stockley! Charlton 2, Crewe 0. A great counter-attack from the Addicts. Washington, calm, composed on the ball. Pass forward to Stockley, who just let the ball run across him. Takes it past Jaskalainen and finishes.
Charlton Live.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. Just before the break there, we heard from the Addicts boss, Johnny Jackson. I mean, nothing really changes for me in terms of, wanting him to get the job. One defeat. I mean, some of the people online yesterday said one defeat, like saying this defeat shows why we can't have, like, why we shouldn't have given it already to Jackson. As if somehow clarifying that people saying that we've done really well in six games is too soon, and therefore one defeat makes it is not too soon to have the opinion the other way. I mean, it's a very strange sort of way to look at it for me, Tom. But, you know, stand by. You know, the turnaround has been remarable. And, you know, just hoping this uncertainty, maybe that's having an effect. Maybe that's affecting the morale, that they seem to be doing everything they can to get Jacko the job and he still hasn't been given it yet, Tom.
Yeah, I think some of the reaction is nonsense. Some of it I've not agreed with, but I get it since one, that he's an inexperienced manager, and it's a risk. But as I said, I think right back at the start, Nigel Adkins didn't work out, and that was an experienced man. So I personally think the risk is less in going with Jacko. I think he deserves the job. I think he's earned it. And I don't personally see that huge risk. I think the reaction yesterday, as I say, was probably, you know, it's a tough result, especially if people have made that journey and ended up spending lots of money. I understand why they're disappointed and frustrated at full time. For me, he's the right man for the job. This defeat is no blip on his record at all. You can't judge a manager over seven games either way, really. And I'm not just judging him on that in terms of getting the job either. I think he's earned it over a longer period of time in what he's done for the club and the coaching and everything that he's done. But I just think he needs to be given a chance. And yeah, I don't know. Personally, I don't think it would make that much difference in how the players feel. But obviously, I don't have any insight into that. But either way, I'm kind of at the stage now, and I think we said this a week ago as well, I don't really understand what Thomas is waiting for any longer. Obviously, he wants to make the right decision. But for me, the right decision is staring right in front of him. And yeah, I just hope it gets made sooner rather than later now, really. And yeah, I want him to get the job, and this defeat doesn't change that.
Now, obviously, Jacko paid tribute to those fans who battled their way through the elements to get to the game. I mean, it was crazy, Ben, we were out there. I mean, I did my classic of I booked a train to get into Shrewsbury ridiculously early, because I'm always worried about missing trains and stuff like that. So I think I was due there by about 11, and my first train where I was supposed to get off at Stafford to change to go to Wolverhampton, that ended up stopping short at Rugby, so then I had to get a different train to Stafford, and then I had an option to go up to Crewe or try and get ahead to Wolverhampton. But I mean, you could see the trains were starting to be cancelled. There was a tree on the line near Shrewsbury, so I thought, well, you could either gamble and go to Crewe and hope that line opens up in time, or I could get off at Stafford and get an hour and 20 minute bus to Telford and then a 40-minute bus to Shrewsbury. So I went for that option because I had time to do it, and I thought, well, you'd know the buses are going to be running. So I did that, and sure enough, I got lucky there. I did get there in time to go and have some lunch and go to the game. Plenty of people not so lucky. They made their way to Wolverhampton or to Crewe, found absolutely no trains, and then started shelling out for cabs, hundreds of pounds to get over there. So, I mean, a lot of people had to turn back as well. You know, it just wasn't possible to get there. So a really nightmare day for them. But as Jacko said, you know, excellent support, and it just shows the lengths that Charlton fans will go to just to go and watch the team they love, Ben.
Yeah, the support was incredible. To take 700-odd to Morecambe on Tuesday and then over 900 to Shrewsbury on Saturday is an incredible effort. And especially as the way getting there was disrupted massively. I mean, a friend of ours, didn't they, texted a picture of Birmingham under snow and the conditions up there. And then obviously the tree coming on the line at Wolverhampton disrupted it even more. So it's just absolutely incredible support. And look, half of that is down to Jackson in the building. I'm sure if we were still playing the same football under Adkins, most fans probably wouldn't bother. I probably would have bothered with the Morecambe game as it was a new ground. But for the Shrewsbury game, it's still that vibe around the club. We want to follow because we're seeing good football. We're seeing good play and we're seeing a manager that really cares. So half of that is down to the Jacko effect. But still, our support has been incredible to pay the amount of people we're paying for cabs from Wolverhampton and from Crewe. Everyone chipping in. I see a lot of people were offering lifts from Birmingham as well. So it was good. The Charlton family rallied round to help each other out. But yeah, as we said, unfortunately, on the day, the result didn't go our way. But I'm sure we can look back and go, okay, look, well, I'm sure Jacko and the players look back and go, wow, what an incredible effort from the players in the conditions it was. And I saw Sandgaard tweeted it as well. That everyone rallied round to help each other to get there, and I'm sure that'll boost Jacko and the players to see the support from the fans.
Yeah, I got helped on the way back as well by our friend Lawrence, who gave me a lift back to Birmingham after the game, and then our friend Pete works on the trains, managed to sort me out an earlier train and a first class ticket as well. So absolute legends who helped me get back from the game about 3 hours earlier than I was due to be, because I was due to be on a really late train. But I just wanted to get out of there just because I thought I don't want to be stranded anywhere. So I was able to get home really early compared to what I was expecting to. So thanks to everyone who helped me. We'll hear from those two in the fans bar as well later, because obviously I wasn't hanging around. So I just interviewed the people nearest to me, basically. But let's have a look at some of the tweets that came in as well after yesterday's performance. Platy said, big respect to all those who made the journey and got there given the train issues. London in at Giza says, I actually thought the ref was okay yesterday until we made the wrong call on the most crucial decision of the game that cost us. He gave us free kicks for that type of foul throughout the game, and then in the last seconds, he lets the most blatant one go. Dan says, it was awful, kept turning in on our weaker foot outside the box and passing back to the defence. Davison was irrelevant all game, didn't deserve to lose, but if we can't use our possession to create chances, then we will drop more points than we gain. Yeah, he mentions Josh Davison there. Obviously, you know, he sort of, when he came into the side at first, you know, a couple of goals, didn't he, you know, even displaced or dislodged Jaden Stockley from his place in the side, Tom. But yeah, I don't know. Last couple of games, it just seems to have caught up a little bit with him as well now, where he's been sitting in for Jaden Stockley.
Yeah, I think I saw him at Dartford in pre-season, and I thought he was probably our best player there. I thought he was excellent. Saw him a couple of other times, not live, and thought he was good. And as you say, came in for a couple of games earlier in the season and performed well then as well. But as I said earlier, he's still a very young man. He's still learning his trade. So I think we've kind of been forced to play him. It's not quite the Carlin or the Joe Piggott where we've chucked him in, you know, because we've literally got nobody else. We could possibly play with one up front or do something slightly different, but I think he's earned his chance to play up there. And I agree, his performances in the last two games in particular have been disappointing, but I think the amount of criticism that he's got for such a young man is a bit harsh. I think we all agree and admit that we need another striker in January, and I'm sure that will be a priority for Thomas and Steve and everybody. But, you know, I don't think he deserves the criticism. He tries hard, he works hard. I think he's doing everything that he can. It's just not quite clicking at the moment. And as I said earlier, you know, Jaden, whilst he was brilliant on Charlton TV yesterday, I'm ready for him to come back. And I wouldn't imagine he'll maybe just get some minutes in legs at one of the cup games. But then the Cambridge and Ipswich back-to-back games on the Saturday and Tuesday, I'm sure he'll be back and firing for those, hopefully.
Excellent stuff. Right, next tweet comes in from Spenny. Says, poor performance the first under Jacko. Man of the match were the fans who paid £100 for cabs from Wolverhampton. I drove, which was still a long journey, to stand in the freezing cold to see us lose in the 93rd minute. But that's what we do as Charlton fans. Yeah, well done, Spenny, for making the trip. And it was a tough one. In the end, Reese says, I thought it was a flat performance. Neither team really deserved the win. However, we've just come back off the back of two consecutive tough away games, and we're still missing key players. I'm optimistic about the upcoming two home games in the league with more of a fit squad, plus Jaden Stockley to return. Sam says, I felt we could have held on for a 0-0 as neither side looked like scoring. Suarez, for me, should have been taken off at half-time, putting Purrington back at left-back or left-wing-back and Clare alongside Akin, and then bring Gunter on at right-back. Fans were amazing again and still believe that Jacko will get the job. And Stu said, I couldn't watch the game, but the next two fixtures use the full squad and make sure we're ready for the Ipswich game to get back on track. Yeah, the next couple of games, as we've said, are in the Cups. We've got the Aston Villa under-21s on Tuesday. And then Friday, we're up to Gateshead in the FA Cup. Spoke to David from the Heath Army podcast today, actually. We're going to do our big match preview on Wednesday this week to look ahead to that cup game. Really looking forward to making the trip up to Gateshead, and yeah, really fascinating story at the club as well, so make sure you tune in for that. Right, back on yesterday's game, of course, fans bar time. As I mentioned, Lawrence and Pete were the only two fans I bumped into really after the game yesterday, because we had to get out of there before we got snowed in or a tree fell on us or something. So this is their views on yesterday's performance up at Shrewsbury.
I thought it was pretty poor overall. Thought Shrewsbury come out of the blocks quite well. It took us probably about a good 20 minutes to get into the game without really creating any chances. I don't know who took the shot, but their keeper made a good save. And that, to be honest, throughout the entire game is really the only save I think their keeper made. I thought we looked exhausted in the end. I ran out of ideas. Corey Blackett, Taylor, I don't think he could offer really much, too much, because I think we just spoke and there were three players on him continuously.
Yeah, I agree with Pete. I think it was a 0-0 game that they won 1-0 basically. Neither team deserved to win the game. We didn't play particularly well. I don't think Shrewsbury looked like they're up to much. Really lacking in quality. I think we were lacking in attacking intent, which I think was a lot due to the fact that Perrington had to move inside.
Pepe Suarez, I mean, how he's a professional footballer is beyond me. I think that was echoed throughout our stands. So I don't know what to make of it. I think we've always struggled against Shrewsbury. I think we did beat him 3-0 one time, so. But we just didn't offer anything, Lou. I can't think of any sustained periods of pressure we put on Shrewsbury. And I think it was just a bit of an ugly game, really. I don't think we deserved to lose. I think 0-0 or a draw was probably the right result.
Suarez, obviously, was nowhere near the level of Perrington in recent weeks. Really, a real weak link, I thought. And we're really missing Stockley as well. I think everyone's seen that. We played really well against Plymouth without him. But I think, you know, today it really showed that Davison just isn't ready for League One yet. So looking forward to January and hopefully getting a replacement but somebody who can back up Stockley when Stockley can't play or when we need to rotate.
Yeah, I am. I don't think there's anyone else that would do a better job. I think we got a pretty average side in on the whole. I think we got, you know, apart from Lee, Washington, Gilby, the keeper, I don't know who's going to change our season, really. So, for me, I think Jacko should stay. I think he should be given a chance.
Yeah, 100%. I think Jackson's the only man for the job. He's a Charlton man. I think, you know, if you'd have said from the first, what is it, seven games that he's been in charge, we'd only lose one and we'd beat Plymouth, we'd beat Sunderland, we'd get a draw with Rotherham. You know, you'd have taken that all day long. Under Adkins, you know, we're looking at a maximum of 6 or 7 points out of the games that Jackson's been in charge of, and we'd be hovering around the relegation zone. So, you know, although it's disappointing today, I think looking bigger picture and across the whole time Jackson's been here, he's still had a really successful time in charge. I think he probably needs a little bit longer just as caretaker before, you know, locking it down. But I'm confident that we can bounce back against Ipswich, against Cambridge, and hopefully, you know, going into the transfer window, Sangar will give him the contract.
Yeah, cheers to the chaps for joining me yesterday. And once again, as I said, for their help in getting me home in one piece. Yeah, disappointing day for them, but you know, it was nice to see those two. And thanks for coming on the pod. Right, let's a couple of emails as well. McSquared says, you can talk about the awful officiating or the fact we didn't deserve to lose and 0-0 would have been a right result and the terrible conditions, of course. However, at the end of the day, too many of our players, in particular Davison, Clare and Soare, were off their game and there were far too clear-cut chances. Far too few clear-cut chances created. The match was very scrappy from start to finish and our midfield lacked spark in general. Credit has to be given to the Shrews for the way they battled and defended and managed to nullify our forward play for the most part. We were generally out-muscled and too many of our side were found wanting in that department. Davison in particular looked out of his depth in this match and at Morecambe, and Stockley has been sorely missed both in attack and defending set pieces. Everyone could see the goal should not have stood. VAR definitely would have ruled it out. But in that sort of match, something like that can always happen. On a positive note, we generally looked defensively, looked good, solid and defensively again. Saying that, it's clear we are now short of numbers in that department and our bench isn't strong enough. Neither sub made a significant impact against Shrewsbury. Hopefully Lecco will quickly find his feet again as he clearly needs some games. The J team, we're always going to lose a match eventually, is how they react to it in the next two home league matches that count. Yeah, Lecco coming back, we haven't really mentioned him too much, Ben. He was only on for, 20-odd minutes or so. But yeah, had a couple of moments, but a full-flowing Jonathan Lecco, I guess it wasn't.
Yeah, it was nice to get him back involved because we know how crucial he can be for us. I think he put in that ball that we were talking about earlier where it's gone right into the middle of the goal and their defenders headed it off the line. And no one was throwing himself at the ball to get on the end of it. But yeah, great to have him back because we know how good he can be for us and he's so unpredictable. But if you haven't got someone to aim there for his crosses in the box or jinx his way through, then he's worthless, isn't he? So I know that's not really Connor's game, but as people were saying, unfortunately, Josh has had three games now where he's just not really proven himself or got a goal to really give himself a boost in confidence. So I imagine Jaden will get a game now in these two cup games to give him some match fitness. But Josh has really got to go for it now because otherwise he'll be, well, coming up for January, I'm sure we'll look for reinforcements in that position because, as you said, we're looking for a late goal and we're looking to the bench. There might not be it's too young to put Bursto on really and look for him to come and score a last-minute goal. But that's where we're lacking. We had Chuksaniki last year, scored quite a few goals for us on the bench. And at the moment, we're looking at that position. Davison's had his go and unfortunately not been there. But yeah, having Lecco back is a boost because we know how good he can be when he starts or comes off the bench. And him and DJ can obviously battle for that position where DJ's been really good lately.
Right, let's get to the next message. Phil says, hi guys, one of the best games at the Valley for some time was followed up by two games against League One Minnows, which have seen us revert to type. Whereas we have injuries and suspensions, so does Shrewsbury. If we're ever going to get out of this division, we need to go to these clubs and bring away 3 points. Sandgaard now needs to appoint Jackson and have a clear out in January, bringing 3 to 4 new faces. That's from Phil. Cheers, Phil. Clive says, hi, Lou. Is it possible now that Johnny Jackson has run into Nigel's problems, playing 3 games in 8 days? Nigel decided to rest players and change the team, leading to a lack of continuity. JJ has the same players pressing hard every game, leading to fatigue. Either way, it seems that 3 games in 8 days is beyond our capability. I don't have an answer. It may be worth studying other teams' results to see if they have the same problem. How else do we explain the fabulous performance against Plymouth, followed by 2 lackluster trips north? Yeah, I mean, fatigue will certainly play a part in it, and they did look fatigue in the sort of closing stages at Morecambe, and I'd say for spells yesterday. But at the same time, you know, it's just, I think that affects that intensity, as I said earlier, whether we can move the ball fast enough, whether we can stretch teams out of position and that sort of thing. And of course, as we know, missing key players who can make the difference for us. Right, Michael says, hi, gents. To balance off any short-term negativity there may be following a disappointing couple of last games, there are plenty of reasons to be positive for the rest of the season and beyond. We've quickly dug ourselves out of the relegation scrap and shown that this squad does have the quality to beat the top teams in this league. It's still a long way to go, and a week off from league is coming at a great time. I feel like the first time it's come, our form has been dropping off as opposed to starting to improve. And the majority of players that have been key to our recent success should all be here for next season, where we hopefully won't have given the rest of the league a 12-game head start. Now that he says, not that I've completely written this year off just yet. Key jobs for us, though. In the meantime, desperately need to sign some cover for Stockley, get Lee in on a permanent, give Jacko the contract till the end of the season. Powell and Bowyer both had good half seasons before their promotion campaigns. Feels the sensible way to go for me. That's from Mike. Cheers, Mike. And then finally, Phil Hall says, a disappointed second half of the week, having conceded a two-goal lead at Morecambe and then defeated by an illegal goal at Shrewsbury. Having been, imagine if you get arrested for goals, that'd be good. Having been a qualified ref myself, I would have been ashamed of myself if I'd missed such a blatant foul leading to the winning goal. Cosgrove made no attempt to play the ball and just bumped into Dobson, leading with the elbow and shoulder and coming from his blind side. It was an absolute disgrace. I think we should have played Alleraway with all our centre-backs missing. He would have been a great asset in the air and may well have cleared the ball first time. He must be wondering why he signed a contract if he doesn't get a look in when we are playing a midfielder player and a fullback as part of a three-man defence. I know he will probably play two games this week, but he should have been given a chance in the last two games where the attacking threat was minimal and yet we came away with 1 point from six. Hopefully the lads will get some rest time and fitness before we resume our league programme on the 4th of December. Definitely a tough ask now, though, to make up the 11-point gap to the playoffs. That's from Phil. Cheers, Phil. Right, as I said at the top of the show, the fan-led review has been released earlier on this week, on the 24th of November. There'd been a sort of look into the governance of football, and the China Athletic Community Trust have played a part in some of the consultation. I wanted to find out a little bit more. So I spoke to Heather McKinley from the Supporters Trust, and she explained what the fan-led review was all about.
The review came about, the final trigger for it was the European Super League, although there had been talk of a proper review into the governance of football for two or three years now. Tracy Crouch led the review and consulted really widely with fan groups, including with ourselves and also with clubs and with the footballing authorities. And the key reason behind it is really to move the governance of English football onto a more stable and sustainable level and take it away from the leagues regulating themselves and all the vested interests that come along with that.
And what would you say are sort of like the main findings that have come out of it?
One of the main proposals is for an independent regulator for English football, and that would be set up a bit in the way that there are, you know, separate regulators for certain other industries like the financial industry, and that the independent regulator would then oversee the governance of football, and particularly things like new tests for owners and directors, so to avoid the kind of cast of characters that ended up getting involved with Charlton being able to get involved with the clubs in future, and also to check on the financial sustainability of clubs going forward to prevent them slipping into, you know, into serious financial trouble. There's 47 recommendations in total, so I won't go through them all in detail here, but they're quite wide ranging, but very much focusing on the governance side and the importance of ensuring a sustainable future for the game, and also making sure that the pyramid is protected so that all the power and all the money isn't just vested at the very top.
I mean, is there confidence at the trust that all or at least some of these proposals will be put into practice over the next few years then?
Well, Tracy Crouch has been very strong in stressing that it's a holistic package. It's not really about picking and choosing. She wants to see the whole report brought forward into legislation. And the timescale for that is that it would be proposed for legislation, hopefully by the Queen's Speech of May 2022. And then it would actually be in place in time for the season 23-24. So it feels like a fairly lengthy timescale, but actually in terms of legislation, that's quite swift. And I think one of the key things that we all need to do as fans is, although it maybe seems like something that's a bit nebulous, but actually it could be so important for the future of the game. And as fans, we really all need to get behind it and make sure that that legislation is put in place. It does, at the moment, it does have cross-party support, and I think it's really important that fans get on side and demonstrate to their local MPs that they are keen for the review in its entirety to be implemented into legislation.
Now, of course, the Trust report on your website sort of delved into two key questions for Charlton fans. So we'll just run over those as well. So the first one was, would the recommended legislation have done anything to have prevented the so-called shenanigans, which is a nice way of putting what's gone on at the club over the last year or so before Thomas came in.
Yeah, we've had to look at it from that point of view, and I think the way it's proposed, the legislation would strengthen the regulation around clubs, and basically clubs would need to have a license to be football clubs, and the kind of legislation around that should prevent what happens at Cholton happening to any other club if it is implemented in the way that it's laid out in the review. And also, at the moment, I mean, I think some of us got quite close to the detail of the current owners and directors tests, and obviously there are quite a lot of holes in them. The proposals are that there would be separate tests for owners and different tests for directors, and that there would just be one single test across all the leagues for English football, whereas at the moment there's an FA test, there's a Premier League test, there's an EFL test. So we do think that the review, if it's implemented, and we very much hope it is implemented, would absolutely ensure that only people who are genuine and serious custodians of football clubs can take clubs on in the future.
And the second question, obviously, with regards to the Valley and the club itself being in separate ownership, I mean, we know that Roland still owes the Valley whilst Thomas owns the club, and do you feel there were some clauses in the review that could help with that?
Yeah, we were absolutely delighted to see a couple of clauses around planning. It was part of our presentation to the panel. We stressed very strongly the importance of protecting grounds, and particularly in a case where the ownership is separate. And there are two proposals there that could be directly relevant for Cholton. One is that the national planning framework should actually include much stronger protection for grounds, and mean that if there are any proposals to develop grounds, then the developers themselves have to provide alternative facilities within the same area and to the same or better standard before they can commence development. That is a level of planning protection that does exist already, but very rarely for football grounds. And then secondly, there's a proposal to strengthen the security of tenure for cases such as Cholton, where the ground is in separate ownership from the club. And I think, just going back to that first one, I mean, we really hope that that's the kind of thing that would actually weaken the claims of Du Châtelet that the ground is worth 50 million, because with those kind of conditions around it, then that would hopefully mean that kind of silly valuation goes out the window.
So overall, as you say, broadly in favour of the review, and it's just a case of fans to try and keep the pressure on to make sure it's put into action.
I think, I mean, as cast, we're very strongly in favour of it, and we think it's really important that the next few months will be quite key, because there will be vested interests coming out, particularly the Premier League, trying to hang on to their riches and pull up the drawbridge, and we've seen their self-interest at play before, and I think this is a vital opportunity for football as a whole to really get its act together, and as cast, we'll be strongly supporting it and really urging Cholton fans to help out by making sure that they let their local MP know that they do support the review, and we'll be putting something on the cast website in the next couple of days about how to do that, how to write a brief letter or email to your MP, just stressing support for the review, because we need to make sure that it is now adopted and brought into legislation.
Thanks very much to Heather for joining us on this week's Cholton Live, then to explain that, and as I said, as she said, look out on the Supporters Trust website for more details of how to contact your local MP if you want to get your point across there, or if you want to read more about the fan-led review that the Supporters Trust have done a nice write-up on it on castrust.org, where you can find out a little bit more about what Heather and I were just talking about there. Right, we're coming up to the end of the show. Tomorrow we are going to our awards ceremony to find out if we have won the Club Podcast of the Year award up in Leicester Square from the Football Supporters Association. So it's our third year nominated in four. We've got to win it at some point, haven't we, Tom?
Yeah, definitely. Why not this year?
Yeah. So it's going to be a podcast that wins it, so why not us? That's Alan Kerbs used to say about the FA Cup, with slightly different words.
Yeah, probably not quite the same. But yeah, be a bigger fun, won't it?
Yeah, well, so we're looking forward to that. So yeah, we'll keep you guys updated on social media to when we find out that we've lost, and we'll let you know. But anyway, thanks to everyone who supported us and made it that we can go to that event. Right, we have come to the end of the show, so thanks to everyone who's listened. As I said, we'll be back on Wednesday with the big match preview, obviously the game being a day forward against Gateshead. I wanted to bring the show forward as well, so you've got ample time to listen to it. So we look forward to speaking to you guys then. Thanks to everyone who contacted the show this week, and as once more, congratulations everyone who was able to make that Herculean effort to get there. And it's a shame we didn't get the result we wanted, but it certainly will, even though we didn't win, it will go down as one of those days you can tell your grandkids about when you spent hundreds of pounds on a taxi just to go and watch us lose 1-0. When they're moaning about us being back in the Premier League or whatever it is, we'll be in a few years' time. Right, Ben and Tom, thanks for joining me this week.
Cheers, mate.
Good to speak to the pair of you. I'm Louis Menez. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again on Wednesday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.